This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place, whether you're in the mood for photographic celebrity entertainment, a dance exploration on the state of Black America with an award-winning choreographer, or conversation with NOMA's director, Susan Taylor. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack.
It has to come to life. Bit by bit, putting it together. Piece by piece, only way to make a work of art. Every moment makes a contribution. Every little detail plays a part. Having just the vision's no solution. Everything depends on execution. Putting it together, that's what counts.
Acclaimed fashion and entertainment photographer and native son, Stephen Forster is celebrating 35 years as an exhibiting artist. He now writes and shoots for the Party Central page in the New Orleans Advocate. For the past 20 years, his work appeared on the Big Easy page of the Times-Picayune. His work has been published worldwide in newspapers and magazines, and his photos are in the permanent collections of the New Orleans Museum of Art, the Ogden Museum of Southern Art, the Historic New Orleans Collection, and others. Forster's latest exhibit, Celebrity, opens this week at Boyd Satellite Gallery. It's the first for Forster in more than half a decade. He joins me now to talk about the luminaries in the exhibit, Celebrity. Stephen, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you so much. Good to see you.
And congratulations on the exhibit and your 35th anniversary. Boy, time flies, huh?
Yeah, my first exhibit was in 1978 at the Contemporary Art Center. So 35 years later, I've made it around the block.
So how did Celebrity come about?
Fortunately, Jeanette from the Boyd Satellite Gallery invited me to do a show. And that was so exciting because after Katrina, I just wasn't thinking about that. And so time passed and there was, you know, healing. And when Jeanette asked me to do a show, I said yes. And then it was sort of, what am I going to do? I just went back to work after Katrina and just, you know, kind of putting back together my life after the loss of, I don't know, 50,000, maybe 100,000 negatives. And in the beginning, I was, you know, going through things and people were saying I was too young for retrospective. So I started to, like, you know, kind of get more specific. And then I thought, you know, there's something that is a continuous thing that through my career, I've photographed so many celebrities. I went through what I could find and, you know, people that I thought were really interesting and that I had photographed. And then it became this, like, puzzle of putting it together. So it's this wild mix of people. And I just thought, how fun would it be to walk into a gallery and sort of know everybody, you know, recognize, you know, oh, that's, point to that one. And I know who that is. And I know who that is. I think it's going to be the biggest exhibition I've ever put together.
And who are some of the luminaries that we're likely to see?
Celebrity is in every field. So there's movie stars. I have, like, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie and Sandra Bullock and Reese Witherspoon and Chris Pine. And there's more than that, but I'm trying to remember everybody that's in the show. And there's television stars as Barbara Walters and Ellen DeGeneres. And we were friends way back in the day, and so that's kind of a fun photograph. That goes way back to, like, 1984. You know, so there's a spectrum. Then there's music stars. There's Ella Fitzgerald and Macy Gray, and there's athletic. There's Drew Brees and Sean Payton. So, you know, there's celebrity in sports. There's Magic Johnson. I'd forgotten that I'd photographed Magic Johnson. I love that photograph. And celebrity, it comes in all shapes and sizes and, I mean, in every form.
And I'll bet there's a story behind every photograph.
Yeah, there is.
Do you have a couple of favorites that you can tell us?
My first encounter probably with celebrity was growing up in the lower Ninth Ward and living down the block. I was about a block and a half or so away from Fats Domino. So that was exciting because I knew of a celebrity that was so close. So that sort of was fascinating to kind of walk in the neighborhood and see if his car was there, see if he was traveling, if he was touring, or was he home? You know, was he in the neighborhood with us? And my brother took me to New York when I graduated from high school to kind of experience the big city. And we went to see The Wiz. And I had heard, it was a mumble in the audience, sort of, you know, that Jackie Onassis was in the audience. So after the show, this is probably 1975 or something, and those days at the end of a Broadway show, I mean, it was crazy. It was just limousines lined up everywhere and taxis, but primarily limousines. So my brother stopped to talk to somebody, and well, I was like 16 or something, and I'm hanging out and I'm waiting and I'm starting to get bored. So I go sit on one of the limousine trunks and I'm sitting there just hanging out. And of all of the limousines that were out there, they had to be 20, 40 limousines. I have no idea. It was just a sea of them. I'm sitting in the trunk of Jackie Onassis' limousine. So she comes out and she's got John, you know, John Jr. with her and Caroline and their kids. And as they're walking, I'm like, oh no, I cannot possibly be on their limousine. And I'm sitting there, you know, like swinging my legs and, you know, and they're here, they're coming. And it's like, oh yeah, they're coming. This is, yep. They're coming. I just jumped off the limousine and stood sort of at attention. I don't know what was going through my head, except I would just wanted to, I was turning seven shades of red and about to die. I couldn't believe, I thought I was going to get arrested or something. I mean, and she was so kind. She looked at me and she nodded. She sort of appreciated, I guess, that I got off her limousine.
So tell us more about your approach to capturing the essence of a celebrity in a photo. How do you do it?
Most of the time, I don't have a lot of time, so I have to work very quickly, and I'm looking for the best features, the best angle, the best way I can present them.
Are the photos all portraits, all headshots of the celebrities?
There's a great many of headshots. There's a few that are performance shots. It depends on when I went through what I had photographed, what I thought was the best that I had of them. And then after Katrina, it was then sorting through, making the puzzle of the best of what I had and if that was usable or if I should use that. And so it was exciting because I actually had more than I anticipated. It's probably my biggest show that I've ever put together.
How many photos are in the exhibit?
I think it's going to be more than 40.
And was it hard for you to figure out exactly which ones you wanted to exhibit since you had so many to choose from?
This is sort of, I think, kind of capturing, trying to give a glimpse into 35 years, you know, from Ella Fitzgerald to Jerry Lewis to, you know, it's just this wild mix. I think everyone in the show has been a celebrity. I mean, it has been a big deal.
And they've all come through New Orleans? Is that where you captured most of the photos?
Every one of them, yeah.
35 years later, what keeps you going?
I think when I put the camera in my hand, something happens there at that moment. My friends say, oh, he's in the zone. My mind starts to go to work. I'm starting to look at backgrounds. I'm starting to look at, you know, lighting and where do I want to do this and, you know, who I'm going to photograph and where I'm going to put them and where will they look great.
Is it possible that we might rub elbows with a celebrity or two at your opening reception?
Well, there is, yes. There's some surprises. And there's New Orleans celebrities in there, too.
Sounds like fun.
It is.
Stephen, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
Award-winning photographer Stephen Forster. His latest exhibit, Celebrity, opens Saturday at Boyd Satellite Gallery, 440 Julia Street. There is an artist reception from 6 to 9 p.m., The exhibit runs through December 31st.
That face, that wonderful face, it shines, it glows all over the place, and how I love to watch it change expression.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The Contemporary Arts Center transforms into a basketball court suspended in time as it presents Pavement, the latest work from MacArthur Fellow and BESSIE Award-winning choreographer Kyle Abraham. The dance work focuses on the state of Black America. And joining me now by phone from Los Angeles is Kyle Abraham. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations on your latest work, Pavement. How are you using a basketball court in your exploration of the state of Black America?
You know, I'm thinking about an urban landscape, and I'm thinking a lot about my time growing up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is where I'm originally from. And my father, he used to help organize a community basketball league, and how much that really brought a lot of the neighboring Black communities together every summer.
And the idea for this specific work, how did it come about?
I kind of start thinking about 1991, really, John Singleton's film Boys in the Hood as one major jumping off point, and then another being the writings of W.E.B. Du Bois, The Soul of the Black Folk, and thinking about a lineage throughout Black history and American history, and my place therein, thinking about where I was in 1991 as a freshman in high school, and thinking about all the interweaving, shall we say, that one has to deal with during that time in 91 when there was so much gang violence. In Pittsburgh is such a wonderful, rich history of its traditionally Black neighborhoods like the Hill District and Homewood. And for me, by 91, I think about that time when those two neighborhoods were filled with so much confrontation, one being the Bloods and another being the Crips. And I'm thinking, okay, these are our two kind of renowned historically Black neighborhoods. Why are we fighting each other? So trying to make a work that's looking at that and then looking at where we're at today.
So what are the issues that are explored?
I think people now find a likeness to Trayvon Martin's case and all these random things that keep coming up in contemporary culture. You know, unfortunately, they're everyday occurrence. I went to a really fancy gala event just last month, you know, after already receiving the MacArthur Award and having someone refer to me as a dancing Negro. It's really an uneasy subject. You know, I'm talking about it. My shoulders are just kind of moving with a little bit of tension just thinking about it. But ultimately, I think that's what my work is really touching on. It's kind of addressing where we were, where we're going, and where we're really honestly at.
So tell me, how do you do it? What will viewers experience in Pavement?
I decided to primarily use opera music in the show. Using the voice of Philippe Jurowski, a lot of the songs were songs written for contralto singers. People tend to think that it's a woman's voice when actually it's a man's voice. But in some ways, this is kind of like my opera, really looking at not only 91, but looking at that as a time capsule. So I think viewers will see a movement hodgepodge, if you will, or gumbo, since we're going to be in New Orleans, a kind of gumbo of various dance styles. You'll see some balletic movements. You'll see some things that people reference to hip-hop, but for me that's more of a cultural reference than a movement reference. You'll see traditional dance forms like Merce Cunningham's technique, Martha Graham, who's also from my hometown of Pittsburgh, artists like Jose Limon and a teacher that I studied with, Kevin Wynn. You'll see a lot of their influence in my movement vocabulary. You also see a little bit of text come in and out throughout the show with a good dose of humor, reality, and, of course, a good dose of drama.
Is there a message?
I don't want to say necessarily what it is because I hope that with the work that I present, an audience comes in with their own sense of a history. They're sitting next to each other, maybe from different walks of life. And for me, the stronger thing is to see what comes out of their conversation from their experience watching the the performance and getting out of it some of the kind of more abstracted approaches to the subject matter. So I think different people, depending on where they're coming from and what their connections are to any of the topics we're approaching, even if it's not something that seems closely related to them, I think the way in which they view the work, because of its abstraction, will ultimately lend itself for really great conversation and dialogue between audience members and my company as well. You know, I talk a lot about black-on-black crime and what that is like, what that was like. Conversation comes up about the use of the N-word. There's one character in particular in the show that uses it. It's actually used to exploit ignorance and look at that word as a word that's rooted in self-hatred.
Now, are you dancing in Pavement also?
I am. I start the show doing a trio with two other dancers. And like, I kind of just peter in and out based on moments of tension and then trying to keep a director's eye as well.
When did you form your company, Abraham in Motion?
We formed in around 2006 when I was finishing up grad school at NYU.
And what is your mission with the company?
It's really about creating a work that allows audience members to come in with their own experiences and then have a conversation about who they are, where they come from, how they see themselves represented on stage or don't, and how that reflects their place in society in relation to the movement, the story, and to their neighbor sitting next to them in the audience.
And what do you hope folks will think about long after seeing this production?
This is a work that hopefully engages an audience to be more active in their community. And also, if it is just on a thinking level, think about what makes up a community, what makes up a family. How can we be even more inclusive in that thinking?
Kyle, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Acclaimed choreographer Kyle Abraham's latest work, Pavement, runs Friday and Saturday at the Contemporary Arts Center's Warehouse, 900 Camp Street, 8 p.m. Voices on the Arts is a partnership with NOLA V and WWNO, featuring 8 new leaders of the city's foremost cultural organizations. New Orleans arts institutions have perhaps never gone through this kind of major change all at once. We're hearing from these new executives on what they bring to New Orleans, how they are embracing our culture, and their plans for the future. Today, we visit with the director of the New Orleans Museum of Art.
My name is Susan Taylor. I am the director of the New Orleans Museum of Art. I arrived in September 2010, and I came from Princeton, New Jersey. The nature of the arts in New Orleans is essentially one of celebration and interdisciplinarity. So I believe that it's important for a museum like the New Orleans Museum of Art to engage in all of those aspects of the arts, including music and dance and theater and film. So for me, the museum has the opportunity and the potential and in some ways the obligation to be a cultural convener. We use the collection as the point of departure for many of our investigations. So each program or project that we take on outside of the visual arts is part of a broader cultural narrative that involves the collections, the publications, and the special exhibition. I'm a great believer in strong exhibitions that engage audiences in myriad ways, whether they are small, focused exhibitions that look at 1, 2, 3, 4 works, or large examinations of multiple types. I think those are important opportunities for our audiences, and I think that it all depends on time, money, and talent. You know, we've been very successful in our fundraising. We have looked at opportunities within the city where we feel that there's a major gap, which means there's a major funding opportunity, particularly in the realm of education. And we believe that we can, by identifying those opportunities that are consonant with the museum's mission, we can fund them. So I think it starts with the board, and our board has been very generous and will continue to be as we move forward on a number of initiatives. I think that it's important for the museum to continually refresh and renew its collections and expand the collections in ways that are complementary to what is already there, that enhances existing collections and fills in major gaps. And to that end, we use our resources very wisely and very, I would say, strategically. We are an educational institution. We're an institution for lifelong learning. So we look at education as critical to our mission. What we've tried to do is be very targeted in how we approach education, to grow it slowly and deliberately, and to grow it in areas where there's a true need in the city for the kinds of things that we can offer. So right now we've started an education program that looks at the language arts. The other new program that we've started is a program for children, 3- and 4-year-olds. And that is a multi-visit opportunity with pre- and post-visit classroom exercises to get small children involved in looking and learning and seeing. Many people feel that the digital image is a window into the museum experience, but issues of scale and color and shape and form and position in space cannot be resolved or better understood through a digital image. It can only come from direct experience with a work of art, all of the various things that an art museum is uniquely positioned to do.
To learn more about Susan Taylor's plans for the New Orleans Museum of Art, go to WWNO.org or NOLAV.com. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. Acclaimed jazz trumpeter Hannibal Lacombe and jazz trombonist Delfio Marcellus and the Uptown Orchestra will headline the Ashe Cultural Arts Center's 14th Holiday on the Boulevard in Central City, with performances Saturday and Sunday at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center, 1724 Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard. The indoor festival is admission-free. More info at ashecac.org. That's ashecac.org. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.